Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 26th of January, recording at 9:38 p.m. And that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In global stock markets, first, in the Asia-Pacific region, well, it was a bit bloody. Some sharp downward moves overall. One of the smallest certainly was Australia, only down 0.69 of 1%. European stock markets started weaker following Asia, but closed mostly higher. An exception I see was the Swedish market. And in the Americas, the U.S. rather disappointingly gave up its gains to close with tiny losses. And the S&P had been up about 5, the Dow got up to 88 at one stage, but they gave it all up. And while Mexico and Canada were a bit higher, Brazil is lower here at 65,523. Okay, elsewhere, against that background, as you would expect, government bonds remain generally steady. Also benefiting from fear and retrenchment, the U.S. dollar is steady again in here today. Precious metals were hit very hard, but then rebounded from the lows. For instance, silver got down to 1634, broke through some previous lows, but then rallied back to them, currently at 1676. Gold's about unchanged, hovering just below the $1,100 level. It had a quieter day among them. Platinum fell down to 1501, but then closed $35 higher, still down 10 on the day. That's pretty much the picture as it occurred. Industrial metals mixed, but copper, which is the big influence there, was down nearly 6 cents. And sugar, for a change, is slightly lower. Crude oil, slightly lower at 74.80. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, in stock markets, the mood is still one of fear. Investors don't like the Chinese move on raising reserve requirements and the concern that was expressed by a number of Chinese officials quite recently that the monetary stimulus last year was greater than they actually needed, as the economy has proved to be unusually resilient, and there is concern over inflation and pressures, although they haven't used that word that much, but Western commentators certainly have. And then investors in the West don't like the battle that we've seen between President Obama, and the banking sector. So that's put Wall Street in a dark mood generally. Then there's a lot of uncertainty about the ending of quantitative easing. Markets don't like uncertainty, and this revives some of the old fears about deflationary pressures, rising unemployment, and there you pretty much have it. It all occurring at a time when stock markets, as you will recall from all the charts we post and that you see yourself, had rallied well above, the leading stock markets, I should say, had rallied well above their approximate mean represented by the rising 200-day moving averages. And in terms of the technical action, well, as I've been saying, it's not been good. It's not been good since starting within late in the second week of January. We have seen a retracement of the early January gains and then some. We have seen upside failures from large trading ranges. That's a worrying reversal. We've seen downward dynamics. We have seen some of the rising lows taken out for indices. So there's nothing good to say about that technical action in the short term, except that it has created some short-term oversold conditions. Now, does that matter, or will we just go on and stay oversold for quite a while? Well, that's certainly a possibility, and we're going to need to see some upside leadership, preferably by China and the USA, to really calm nerves. The two leash effects from those two markets are currently negative. My hunch is that it's a medium-term correction, that we're back into a medium-term correction. Now, not all markets have done the same thing. The strongest ones, and in terms of more recent performance, although not the overall gains from their lows, but in terms of recent performance, certainly the U.S. indices were among that group. The strongest ones had seen a slowing of momentum, but still had the higher highs and higher lows, so they were ranging higher. And then there was a second-tier category of markets, some of which had actually outperformed Wall Street since the March lows, but went into a lengthy consolidation phase, largely sideways ranging, fairly early on, back in September or October, and they continue to move sideways. And then there are a few special situation markets where there are lots of fears. Greece is certainly an example. Dubai, or the UAE was an example, which have considerably underperformed some of the African markets with political concerns. So there you have it in terms of the broad picture overall. But the key question for investors is the cyclical bull market that was very good last year. Is that over? I don't think so. I think it's too early in the cycle. I don't think there are the inflationary pressures to justify any squeeze by the Fed. The end of quantitative easing is not the same thing as a tight monetary policy, which is usually the cause of the demise of a bull market trends. But is this a corrective phase, a further corrective phase? Almost certainly. And if there is a parallel with the last cycle, and I've posted a 10-year chart in my stock market section, 10-year weekly chart of the S&P, which is interesting for comparisons. So you can see the number of corrections that had occurred. The longest ones during the last upward cycle from 2003 into 2007 occurred in 2004, and it took up most of the year. It wasn't until the fourth quarter of the year, I believe, that Wall Street started to take off again on the upside. So I think we have a risk of a lengthy, just sideways ranging phase, which would not be terribly thrilling, but it would be better than a dramatic increase in overall volatility. Sum it all up, we're still in this corrective phase, and the emerging progressing markets, being high beta, have a little bit more downside risk than the better of the developed OECD country stock markets, because they scored the bigger gains on the upside. That's the way the system works. They outperform on the way up and also during the corrective phases. So this is uncomfortable. It also creates further uncertainty, analytical uncertainty. Someone in my position is always going to prefer monitoring very orderly trends. Well, we got to do that for quite a few months, and now we have a choppy environment where there are far more questions than answers. I can't really be more candid than that. That's very much the way it looks. Now, what about the long-dated government bonds? the overall evidence shows that we certainly don't have to worry about them discounting a lot of inflation, nor are they discounting a really slough of deflationary despond in here. They're taking their cue from stock markets. They're ranging, bond yields are ranging at historically low levels still, and I think they're probably going to stay right there. I suspect we'll see more of the same. The US dollar is interesting because the dollar rally, which occurred from the upper side of that June to I think it was no, it was I think it was March to August 2008. Don't quote me or don't hold me to the fire on those the start date of that trading range. But that small base that we had with the U.S. dollar back in 2008, which supported a strong rally commencing in late July into November of 2008. Well, the dollar index, as you'll recall, back in December had rallied back down. Or was it in November? November, December had fallen back down. The dollar index had fallen back down to the upper side of that 2008 base formation, and it bounced well from there against a background of bearish sentiment. We saw some short covering. That rally petered out against a number of currencies, but it's gotten a second wind, and there are a fair number of ranging patterns overall, but there's nothing to say that these won't support a little bit more in terms of dollar gains, particularly if stock markets suffer an additional pullback. And that's what the balance of technical evidence says. And the only thing to counter that at the moment is some short-term oversold conditions. So, looking through the dollar charts, particularly on the weekly charts, the action that you see, for instance, in some of the resources currencies, such as the Australian and New Zealand dollars, they show potential top formations against the US dollar, indicating that they will weaken a bit further. Well, they haven't weakened very much, but indicating that they'll give up some of the earlier gains that they'd seen against the greenback. Precious metals. I think this is an accumulation zone here. I'm not certain about it. I don't think anyone can be in this environment overall, but we've seen some pretty decent corrections, yet these are still within their overall upward trends. I certainly don't think that the fundamental background, which has driven them higher, has changed. But there's always the possibility that if I've underestimated the extent to which stock markets pull back, or even if it's just a short, sharp reaction to the downside for stock markets, that would almost certainly weigh on precious metals. These tend to be correlated, or they certainly have been for the last few years. So I said we could expect some more choppy action, and I think that's still the case. The silver action was most interesting today because it did certainly break some support and trigger some stops, and then bounced back reasonably well. My hunch is that these things will range around a bit. They would go lower, I think, if stock markets were to fall sharply, albeit within this what I suspect is no more than the medium-term correction. And there is also a reasonable chance that we could see further gains by all of the precious metals heading towards spring. Seasonal factor, that's spring in the West, so I'm talking about the end of this first quarter, the beginning first 6 weeks or so of the second quarter. They've often done that. Again, I think it's just general move to increase cash levels that I think would prevent that from happening. Same thing with the industrial metals. There is some concern that China's move will weigh on the sector, and China's anti-inflation measures will weigh on the sector. But of course, it's not just China that's accumulating these metals, but that's the big buyer overall. And there are supply shortage considerations as well. But commodity price inflation, bottom line, commodity price inflation is over for the short term, for the most part, for at least the short term. And stock market asset price inflation is over, at least for the short term, although I think we will see medium-term gains in both stock markets and most commodities. And that's pretty much it for today. I will mention that because I have evening functions over the next 3 days, Owen will be doing the next three audios. And meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.